Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Greetings. Welcome to Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. This is your host, Vinaya Yazzi.
Hello, we're here with Alyssa Begay, who is a member of the Farmington community, and she is also a member of the Navajo Nation. So good morning, Alyssa. How are you?
Good morning, Yat'e, Vinaya. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to have you here. If you'd like to introduce yourself, you can, whichever way you feel that will represent you well.
Sure, thanks. Yat'e bene she Alyssa Begay yinshe, ashi nishlon hashklishni bashishchin, tabaha shiche ki ani deshinele, mitten rock dan nasha, and San Juan County dan nashnish. I am from the Farmington, I'm living in the Farmington area, but my grandparents are from the Mitten Rock area. I went to high school at Navajo Prep, so I was a graduate there. Go Eagles, and I later went to UNM, got my bachelor's there in Native American Studies, and minored in biology and Navajo. And I moved back here and started getting involved in community.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great career. And for those of you who are really familiar with the Navajo culture, we have a clan system that runs through the women, the matriarchy. And so even though Alyssa and I aren't blood related, she is a member of my clan. So we're actually like cousin sisters, I guess, would be. When we see each other, we address each other in that way of younger sister, older sister. So it's kind of nice to have a family member here to be interviewed. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So what I'm really interested in, Alyssa, is the fact that you work in real estate, because there's not a lot of Navajos I found that work in that area. But also what I'm interested in too is, what role do you feel that you represent within our Four Corners community?
I feel like I am the resource of the resource. I really like to be not the know-it-all. It's hard to know everything, and you don't want to have that pressure of, you know, well, Alyssa said this. So I like to get to know a lot of people and then point people in their direction should they need it. So for instance, I've had people ask me where to find services for like abuse, and where to find services for Medicaid, like various things, you know. And it's luckily for me, I had a pretty like colorful career as far as being in various sectors of the community. So I'm fortunate enough to either know a little something about it or know somebody who knows a lot about it. So my role, I feel, is just kind of the connector.
Okay, well, that's really a good role to have, because being a voice in our community is very important, because you can be an advocate for a lot of things. And it seems like as a realtor, you kind of do have your foot in all those areas. And me speaking as a visual artist, also as a poet and educator, it seems like what you do is you're kind of like this, like you said, a connector. You know, you can say, oh, I know somebody who does painting. So like if you are dealing with somebody who has a new house in our community and they're like, well, I'm looking for art, and you're like, well, I know some painters who do some really great work. Here's their name. Here's their contact. You know, so a kind of a realtor is like busy bee in a good way.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of people say in the industry is that real estate is the people relationship type of business. You're always cultivating and trying to maintain good relations with people. So I'm like, this is totally indigenous based. Just kidding. It's all land, and we got a bunch of community members. But how it incorporates into my business, which is great, being that, you know, we're Navajo, so we have that kind of Rolodex in our head of like, who makes the best bread, who's got the truck to like haul trash. So with real estate, it's similar, because that's actually how I got into real estate, is recognizing that a lot of people that had trades in my family were all businessmen. So for instance, my father, my dad, William Begay, he is in the flooring industry. So he does a lot of installs. I have an uncle who's in security, another one who's an electrician. So when I got into real estate initially, I was thinking, what if I could flip houses and give all of my family jobs while I'm trying to get this asset going for myself? And instead of, and it was all a good idea in the flipping. And then I was thought about like, oh, the commission, maybe that's something that's going to take away from me. So it would be good for me to learn it, you know, like how we do. If I don't want to pay for it, I'll do it myself. So that's where I decided if I become an agent, then I can have, you know, these connections to this. But as I got deeper into the business, it's like, it's great because I'm making different connections to other parts of my life. So yeah, basically, real estate is all about connections, and that's how I started, and it's been really good because it's great to be a part of a larger network where people feel like they can call you about anything, not just real estate. And the fact that I have real estate as my business right now, it just gives me like a larger platform so people have the ability to kind of go through my Facebook page and see who I'm connected to. Like a lot of artists, a lot of people in like radio or people on the reservation who are actually doing things like home building and surveys. So there's so much information out there with real estate, and I feel very fortunate to be connecting to all of it.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, when you really look at what real estate is, as you just described, it's perfect for an indigenous person because we're very much still nomadic in our communities and we're very migratory, you know, because like when my great grandparents were still alive, me as their great granddaughter and all our cousins, we would travel from Farmington to south of Bloomfield to their home regularly on a regular basis, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Navajos who come into Farmington and do their business and then they go home, right? So there we have these contacts in like these, you know, different states, right, in different parts of the reservation. So the real estate business seems like it would really fit to a Navajo person because we get it. Like we live that life of like what's going on in our different communities. And I think one of the things that you have to be is a good communicator, right? And also a person who can speak well in public and not be shy, which is kind of the opposite of a lot of Navajos now, because I feel like we're a little bit more inward and kind of closed off to other people beside our family. But I think you have to have the personality, which I think you have, Alyssa. And you have that great personality that really get like how to communicate with people, you know. And I think part of that too has to do with eye contact and how you present yourself to in a professional way. It's really important. So there's really an art to real estate, just like there's the art of making art, you know. There's a process, there's jargon, there's a certain narrative that you carry with you. And that's why I wanted to interview, because I think that's important, because anytime you're in any kind of profession, you have to hone your skills. You have to get in there and figure out ways that work and ways that don't, because just like an artist, you meet so many different people every day, different personalities, you know. Are they easy to work with? Are they hard to work with? Are you trying to convince them or not? You know, so there's a lot of qualities that I see in somebody being in the real estate business that kind of parallel a lot to artists in our community. So that's why I was interested in having you come here, Alyssa, because I think that your story and what you do as a profession is really important in many spheres of our Farmington community, but also like branching out into Colorado, Utah, and Arizona too. I think one of the questions that I'd be interested to having you speak a little bit about is how you got, you mentioned a little bit how you possibly got into this area, but why did you choose Farmington, and you know, how are you deciding to stay with our community? Because there's a whole wide world of real estate in the whole global community.
Right. So a couple things. One, I never had thought about it before today that my trade could be considered art, and it really is. Not only like on the marketing side of it, but as a like release. So I liked acrylic. I think that it's unforgiving because you can be, well, I guess not as unforgiving, but like you can line it. So it helps me to get off of the professional portion of my day, really. So thank you for that. And two, I got into, I approached this with the community in mind. So generational wealth is something I heard of in school. I mentioned I had gone to UNM for Native American Studies. And that idea of community building is so strong in that study. And recreating Native Nations, or they call it rebuilding Native Nations. And that phrase had impacted me so much from being in school to my adulthood, because it's hard to create something it's hard to fix something that's already wrong. You can't fix a batch of stew and you've already put too much salt in it. You know what I mean? So you got to get to the root of the problem, all the way back to the ingredients. And I feel like I spent my entire adult life, the early part of my life, I guess I should say, trying to figure out my place in the world. And like you said earlier, what is my role in the community? I tried healthcare, I tried education, and I wanted to do policy building, but that idea was so far-fetched and it's didn't seem tangible to me. So when I got into real estate, like I said, it was for generational wealth, and it seemed for our people and my community and my little bubble of friends and family that you don't talk about real estate. Like, you don't ask questions like, hey, auntie, where'd you get your house? How much did you pay down?
Yeah.
What was your interest rate? Those are all very private questions, and that's not who we are as Native peoples. Mm-hmm. And it's like, also at the same time, you don't want to hold on to knowledge. And I feel like there's a word for that, but holding on to knowledge is just so wrong, because what is that going to mean for the younger ones who are trying to do better for themselves? So being that generational wealth is something that I heard at a collegiate level, I thought, like, I need to break it down to where somebody who has never, you know, gone past high school, or even a child, to be excited about generational wealth. And how can I model that? And I don't have any children. I have bonus children. I have nieces and nephews and my little brother who's 6. So I'm always thinking of ways to kind of pour into him. And it helps me with my business, because then it helps me, like, get away from the complexity of what my business is. But generational wealth, I thought that it's a great idea to talk about and be on YouTube and make all kinds of Instagram posts about, but nobody is going to listen until you see it, until they see that, okay, she's done it. The point of my getting into real estate was to model it. The idea of, like, me having generational wealth and, you know, life insurance and something to pass down, an asset to pass down, and a little parcel of land for me and other people around me, my friends and my family, are able to do the same. I was just thinking, like, we're all elevating at one time, and so beautiful and special, and they themselves can not be selfish with this. It's kind of one of those community efforts. It's unspoken, like, I'm teaching you how to do this so you can do it yourself and teach others how to do it, and just trickle down. Like, as a community, we're gonna rise and get away from those things, like, you know, start to heal from historical trauma, get away from the DV, the suicide, the alcoholism, all these things that are negatively impacting my Diné community, but also the San Juan community. Mm-hmm. And what drove me to choose Farmington was one, within my mountains, right? And two, physically, I'm connected to the land with my umbilical cord, so I guess physically I'm connected there. I felt like it was also important for my community I came from to see it. So it's interesting, because a lot of my friends and my family are in my database. We're not quite there yet, but we are all trying to get there. That gives me purpose. And when you get into the real estate business, all the Natanis of the business say stuff like, what is your purpose? What is your why? And I didn't really understand it at first. I was looking at it very Western when I had first got in, and how am I going to emulate the top producers, and how am I going to get there? And like you said, I approached it a different way. I kind of stepped back and thought to myself, how is Blue Horse going to do it? And that when I established my brand, that's when I kind of took my big girl pants out and put them on and thought, you know what, I don't have to go and conform to this way. I have a lot of great ideas, a lot of great people. And the beautiful thing about going this other direction was I didn't make one thing myself. I looked around and I saw pieces I wanted and brought it to me. And if I couldn't do it, then I connected with those people so I would have the ability to get on the radio, to know who to contact about an art walk, you know. All of these things are so special, and that is my purpose, is to connect people, to model generational wealth, so that, you know, it might not be in my lifetime that I see no violence, but I am at that age, that tender age of being able to see my younger sisters and my younger brothers have families, and the families that they start are pure love. It's not, you don't see the same thing from our generational trauma, where we're directly seeing what our parents' trauma was. And that's not too far from our grandparents in the boarding schools. So we were very close to it. And right now, our younger families that are coming up, they themselves or their parents made that decision to stop. With the new life that's coming from them, there's change. Oh, sorry.
It is. It's a very emotional. You know, a lot of times when I speak to artists, it's such innate inner vision that comes out and becomes tangible in, you know, emotions. But that's part of the passion. That's the passion that we carry. I mean, it gives me goosebumps to hear you, you know, and your inspiration and the fact that it's rooted in the land and that it's rooted from our people. And then it's rooted from the love, and that's empathy, right? That's compassion. And I've spoken before to artists about this old, it's an old concept, I think, that our great grandparents carry and carried, and hopefully we can still carry, and that's a term that is Joba. It's very important. It's empathy, it's compassion, it's love. And there was a teaching when they were still on this earth that, you know, they would say, Oyo Joba, you know, like not really feeling sorry for the person, but knowing that that person needs love, that you need to help that person. So Joba is very important. And I see that kind of like what you're building into your brand. And what is the brand of your...
Blue Horse Realty NM.
So, you know, like that, you know, there's always a mission statement behind your company, right? Mm-hmm. You go to these global companies, corporations, and they have a mission statement. I don't see that too often in Navajo or Native-run businesses. And I think that's only because we don't understand that concept, but we know we have it. But to put it in a tangible form, that's another story. You know, it's important that you're doing all these things because you're bringing the community together, like you just said. Also, what's important in what you're doing right now is you're making this idea of real estate that is very intangible, very tangible. You know what I mean? So when you use social media, then you're making it a kind of tangible visually to Native people to see, okay, what is this generational wealth? Because a lot of times, even when we go into higher ed, we're always taught about generational trauma. That's something that a lot of Natives understand and know. But to really flip that and say, well, look at this concept of generational wealth. Yes. It's a boom, mind blown. Because I've actually never even heard someone say generational wealth till I met you.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't go to school for business. I didn't go to school for this. I was in education. So I've always learned about generational trauma. And I think as an artist, I incorporate those kinds of things into my work. Not maybe overtly, but in some way, I kind of bring symbolism into that, whether it be colors or shapes or whatever. But I think what you're bringing to the table here in 2023 is that there's going to be a new way to live as a Native person, as a Navajo person within our Four Corners Farmington community, that there is hope that is available for us if we decide to take that on. You know, if we just say, okay, today I'm going to do a step towards hope, right? Which I think is really different than maybe our uncles who've been through maybe boarding school trauma, mm-hmm. and they're dealing with social ills like alcoholism or drug abuse or whatever it may be. But I think this new generation, which is maybe your generation, you're understanding that there's a 360 that needs to become, you know, we've been through this low point, but then you got to come around and go into the new vision. So mm-hmm. I think that's really important, Alyssa, that you're sharing this because, you know, like I said, there is a a protocol and a process of doing real estate. And the fact that you're leading a Native women-owned company, you're understanding that there's a need to approach Native people to help them understand. So that's the art of real estate, you know?
Yeah.
I see it. So, and I was mentioning to you earlier that, you know, Navajos, we really do have this innate perspective of being in the art way, which I call it the art way, you know, because we're raised from little children seeing our grandparents doing art ways. It could be our great grandmother's Nehemasan, you know, they're weaving, and then, or we can look at our great grandfathers who maybe cared for horses or livestock. They have their own way of caring for those animals, and it's an art way, right? The mm-hmm. approach. So in Navajo, we have a term called Hojong, living in a Hojong way. It's a beauty way, a balance way, a good way, a life full of happiness and love. That's just the art way, you know. There's no other way I can understand it, but that's how I kind of interpret it. Alyssa, one of the questions I think I have for you is, how do you think real estate is given to the public? How do you feel like you have to turn it around for Natives to really get that point of view across of what is it really?
One of the things that comes right away is thinking about when I'm explaining what earnest money is something also known as good faith money. So let's say you're already got your pre-qualification done with your lender, you know what your budget is, and you find a house and you want to take it off the market. Part of what you're also writing down in your contract that you're going to give money to the title company, which is going to be like a third party person to keep things fair between the buyer and the seller. So you're going to say, like, here's $500 or $1,000 to make sure nobody else can bother this property while I'm doing my work. While I'm looking at this house before I buy it. So the way I describe that earnest money is like the attorney blanket or the Pendleton blanket.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the only analogy I make. I think that I got a really good preview or good example from was my team I'm on. I chose to go to Albuquerque because of the way they have a podcast called Business. And that podcast talks about things that I think about with my childhood, about being useful, about giving value. Researching that team and then looking at their team values, like you said, in Bilagana Bazad, it's adding value, being community first, 24/7, always thinking about what's best for the client first. So all of those things, if you think about them in the Diné language, we got perseverance. We got, despite what's going on outside, you still got to get out and feed the animals. It doesn't matter. We need wood. It could be a big storm. You go out. So consistency, I guess, is the way they say it in the Western world. Consistency, being in control of your own mindset. So a lot of the things I heard there were things that I could relate to my childhood. And I thought that was really special. And I decided to go with them because it did the work of doing that, like you said, the connection of trying to make it understandable to Natives because it's already beautifully written. I think with my sphere, for instance, my friends and my family, when I'm doing the presentation of buying with them, it's easy for them to wrap their minds around. But I think that me saying it is what it's the hardest barrier. So I always mm-hmm. tease him. Like, I'm like, I don't know if you've seen the meme of the Native T-Pain where he's like,
no. Well,
after I end my like family's presentations, I kind of got to say something funny to bring him back to like that code switch even yes. happens within yeah. our family. So it's that, I think that's the only thing I've actually done was the Pendleton blanket to try to make it more relatable to Natives. If you understand the process, then they can make their own connections. If I'm ever using analogies, I'll make it very very broad so it's not too specific, and I won't get into the habit of making it all Native, all Navajo, all the time.
Yeah.
So I make it really broad, but it the Pendleton blanket is like one of the first ones that I thought of.
Everybody
got
universal
it.
In Indian country.
Exactly. I didn't have to say anything.
You know, even though you may not think of it as doing that, at least to bring that, you know, new jargon into the Native household makes a difference. I think a lot of times we as Natives, we don't really think about real estate because this is all our land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, they don't understand like what it is to own land, because historically this was all our land, right? We
exactly.
didn't own it, and it was it was kind of a taboo thing to say, oh, I own this land, don't walk here, right? Mm-hmm. But then as colonization came into our communities, the idea of land ownership was introduced to us, especially to Navajos, like we got an acre of land, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have like grazing permits and all the things. And then those concepts were kind of like in our great-grandparents' era where that whole idea of land ownership came into, but then home ownership, like I said, you know, we were very migratory because I still have oral histories of my great-grandparents and how, you know, they would have their summer home, they would have their sheep camp, they would have their winter camp, constantly their planting area, you know. So just having a solid home was alien, mm-hmm. because they would live in Nepal, right, these tents, right, and mm-hmm. they would live there for a season, then move along. So breaking out of that concept, I don't think it's breaking out, but like it's just opening our horizons mm-hmm. to something that became very status quo to our grandparents, to our parents, you know, to our uncles and aunties, that, you know, we have to only live in head housing.
That's as good as it gets.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, there's something beyond. Yes. You know what I mean? You can build your own what you want, you know, and that's something that I think we have to break that status quo. Mm-hmm. Because even now, like, people that are my age, who were born in the 70s, still kind of hold those concepts. Oh, I could own a home. Really? I could, you know?
Yeah.
And now, you know, a lot of natives, a lot of Navajos buy mobile home trailers, which almost costs as much as a home, right? A basic home almost. So I think it's important that you're bringing in this dialogue, because I've already learned so much from you just by the words you're using. And I'm like, well, I've never used that word in my whole life before, you know, because, you know, real estate and that whole business of real estate is very specific. But I think what's the thing that brings us all together is that, you know, we all want this place of peace, of security, of love. And that is a home, right? That is a place where we can all go at night and feel happy about our day and drink our coffee, you know, whatever that home may be. In Navajo, we have the term hogwan, which translated to Hogan, mm-hmm. but Hogan is very important because that's where our family is, you know, that's where our mother is, and our father. But it's a place of love, and it's a place where we can do the things that we have to do to continue that idea of Hogan. And I think what you do in our community is important, not only for those reasons, but also you're bridging. I've seen you do it in a way, like you're bridging like native people together. You have your YouTube channel, and what was that? What's your YouTube channel called?
It's Alyssa Begay, but there's like three of us on there. You'll see me though. It's a big orange circle with me smiling.
Okay.
Nice
okay.
and big.
Okay, so visit that. And then you're on social media also?
I am. I'm on Facebook. I like to use my personal Facebook page. So Alyssa Begay, you can just find me there. I also have, if you go to my website, you'll actually have the links menu. You can have all of the socials that I have. It's bluehorserealtynm.com. I just wanted to add something really quick.
Yeah, sorry. Please.
So before we finished up, I thought about, I do actually have that generational wealth talk with multiple people, and it's usually the younger generations. So I'm not saying that I don't have that same talk with my folks that are out there, but the new family specifically is who I always talk to about generational wealth. And all the natives and non-natives, it's surprising to me that that term isn't widely used. So that's kind of one of my goals in life, is to kind of put it out there. Like people, kids nowadays, you know, they say like cap or something like that or suspish. And, you know, some of those things you don't really understand, but it's like one of the words, generational wealth, like that could be the popular term. And right. What if that's something all the kids at school were talking about?
I could see you having that as your merch,
right?
All it says is generational wealth, because that says so much, right?
Gonna get through the copyrights for that art.
Right, yeah, trademark that, generational wealth.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really happy to talk to you, Alyssa, because when I see you, you bring hope to a new generation of Native people, because you're introducing them to these concepts, and that you could own a home, you could own land, you can do these things, where before people were saying, no, you can't, stay on the res and stay in your housing, and you know that you're good, you know. So it's great that you are able to do that. I'm really, yeah, you know, it's really good to know. Well, everybody look out for Alyssa Begay. She mentioned all her contact information, and you'll probably be hearing from her soon, and maybe we can get her to do a return at some point and see how everything's going with her. her merch. Hagona, lusekyaha, ayusekyaha.
Oh, hagona.
Thank you for listening to Native Art Voices of the Four Corners.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.